What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal.
What?
This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day and letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, or the Party Animals on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM, the Fan. Party on, you party people. Happy birthday, Honest Abe. Abraham Lincoln's birthday today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. It's his birthday. His death day, April 15th.
No.
You know that?
No.
Mm. Yeah. I just found that out today.
There you go.
When I was making sure it was Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Is that what you do in the morning?
Tax day.
You get up and see who's got a birthday today?
No. I just, sometimes you see things and you're like, is it really? And so you do a quick Google and then boom.
You know what's really weird is when you
birth and death dates pop up.
I think we think about Abraham Lincoln as this ancient figure, but in reality, it's not that long ago.
What is it, 1865 he died? I mean, I'd say that's a long time ago.
I think we think of U.S. history as so much older than it really is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just seeing old places, like you're like, damn, this is really old.
When you go to Europe, and you get, you go to Italy and you see the Colosseum and you're like, that's old.
Yeah. Nate Bargatze's got a joke about that. He's like, he goes, it's just so old. They're like, yeah, this place is from five.
Yeah.
The year five.
You're just... Literal thousands of years ago. And you're like, no, that's old.
Yeah.
Like you see the old castles that are up, in England, like. Yeah, no, that was built in 1236. And you're like, wait, what?
You say 12?
Yeah. Like,
that was like 200 years before Chris Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah. It's like, then it starts kind of hitting, like, no, nothing on this planet has done that more to me than the pyramids.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seeing the pyramids in Egypt. I don't think there's anything on this planet. Like, Stonehenge is Stonehenge. You're like, it's cool, but it's not. That when you see the pyramids and you go by hand,
nah, man, the aliens
by hand,
the aliens,
total squirrel moment.
We've got beyond this,
solely because of pyramids. When you say you see stuff last night, random scrolling on the phone. Have you ever heard of LIDAR?
Nope.
It's like radar, but it's using light refraction.
Nope.
So they've been doing it in the Amazon forest.
Okay.
And they have found another city.
Yeah.
That is buried.
Ancient city. Yeah, yeah. I've seen this.
Well, no, this one was Saturday.
Right. Yeah. I saw it.
Okay.
This weekend. Yeah. Saw it. Yep.
But it's the second one they found in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
One of them, the first one was found like 4 or 5 months ago by college students on a paper using LIDAR and how it should be used in South America.
That's crazy.
But yeah, there's apparently like a Machu Picchu style civilization buried under, 100 foot of
that's wild, dude.
Vegetation. It's
that's
like,
crazy.
We're on this planet and we still don't know everything that's on the surface.
Well, yeah, man.
It's again.
Wait till they find Atlantis under the ocean.
I mean, I want to see fish people.
It's where the aliens actually live.
Well, we did get the alien fish. That was all over the news this weekend. The
alien fish?
Yeah, the dangler fish.
Yeah.
There was, which you never see alive. It was off of the coast of Peru.
Sure.
Why don't you see it alive?
Why wouldn't it be?
Because it lives at like 8,000 feet.
Yeah, it's down at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh.
It's the one, like, it's in Finding Nemo.
They're sure. All in Finding Nemo.
Well, no, it's the one where he goes all the way down.
Well,
it has a little light. You know, do you know
every
what I'm
fish
about?
Is in Finding
I know
Nemo.
What you're talking about,
yeah,
but
it
like
is. It is in Finding Nemo.
All the fish are in Finding Nemo, or they're in Finding Nemo 2.
There you go.
Electric Boogaloo.
That's Finding Dory. All right,
yeah. Finding Nemo 2.
Oh man, yeah, that was a squirrel moment.
Yeah, I told you, but like things that you see. I love like nature and history. Like probably my outside of sports, my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I can sit there and just read about it endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I see that stuff like pop up, my algorithm has a lot of that.
I mean,
a lot of basketball and then like a lot of history.
Shane Gillis has got a joke about that.
Yeah. Look, I know.
About the same age that he is, too.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Love guns. I know. Look, I know what I look like.
So these fish people,
yeah.
Do you care what their skin color is?
Yeah. Damn, Will.
There's a.
I'm just asking
look,
questions.
There's plenty of jokes to be made about the recent Little Mermaid. So,
oh, man.
You know. steer out of that, I dare you.
Have you seen the fight that nobody's asked for?
No. Fish people?
No.
One, they're both kind of aliens in their own way.
Well, I mean, one guy was criticized for being wildly racist.
Oh, that fight. Yeah.
John Rocker is going to fight Pat Mahomes Sr. in a boxing match presented by Barstool Sports. This comes after, I don't know how or why this happened. Mahomes Sr. and Rocker
got into it on Bourbon Street.
They confronted each other in New Orleans Super Bowl weekend on Bourbon Street. And
I have a reeling suspicion John Rocker is maybe in a little bit better shape than
Pat Mahomes Sr.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can get him.
He's got Dewey strength.
I don't know what that is.
It's like
but
Popeye, but instead of feeding him spinach, you give him beer.
All right. They were.
You ever had drunk strength and been able to lift something you didn't think you could?
Drunk?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
No.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We used to get drunk and then do the bench press. I get it.
Okay, well, hold on. That's another thing, is like getting drunk and then just being like, I'm broing out. I don't think it's like I get any stronger.
No, but you convince yourself that maybe you can do
things. You get beer muscles.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
You just get wired differently in the brain. You're probably not performing at your highest level.
Yeah.
Even though, remember when Michelob Ultra started? There was like a
performance beer.
It was like a recovery
beer.
And it was like, I don't know if you
this
guys
the,
can
this,
advertise
the
it
beer
like
that
this.
You drink after you get done working out.
Because
it's low
serious?
In calories. Oh, God, yeah.
Their commercials
40
were wild,
calories,
dude.
Baby. You get they would get guys come off a basketball court and crack a Mick Ultra.
Yeah, and then hop back out and get their run back in. It was like people go like training for marathons, then just cracking that Mick Ultra. I was like, I don't think that it's like the Gatorade of beer.
No,
I don't think that's what
that
it is.
That rocks, man.
I can't imagine doing something worse than that. Like, let me drink a beer and then go work out more?
I will.
Good God.
I will say, I saw something on Instagram, and I actually tried it, and I was stunned how good it was. There was a guy he's a bar owner, he's a mixologist type guy.
Oh, okay.
And he said that he got you know, somebody on his Instagram feed said, hey, you've got to try this. So he's like, I'll give it a whirl. And he tried it. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is actually good. And his reaction to it, he's like, I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to do this in the summer. This is a perfect summer changeup. He added the little powder, you know, the Gatorade Zero orange Gatorade Zero powders. Okay. He added it to a Busch Light and he's like, dude, this just tastes like an orange drink that's carbonated.
Really?
I tried it. It's true.
It's better than a beer mato.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not something I'm going to do all the time.
People that pour their Busch Light into a Clamato is just some of the nastiest.
Oh, there's a lot of people that do it, man.
Look, one of my best friends in the Air Force is from Iowa. We went down there. It was like, everyone had them.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. It's like, a big Midwestern treat.
No, I like my insides.
Yeah.
Where they are. Thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, your mimosas are good too, if you've ever done that.
Then I'll go down that path, but yeah, but the Gatorade and the beer, huh?
Yeah, it's not the premix. It's just the powder. Little powder stuff, yeah. And they come in the little
sleeves.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I've got them at home. Yeah,
see, that's why I try, because I had some at home, and so I was like, we're gonna give this a whirl. So a buddy tried it.
Bush's, it's like light. It's. I mean, flavor wise, it's pretty light on flavor. So
yeah.
That makes sense.
Boy, this segment really went play. This is what happened when football season's over.
Yeah.
This is what happens when football season's over.
Yeah, we get to have fun.
You're welcome. All right, let's get to we could have big movement in the world of the NFL based on the result of the Super Bowl. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Super Bowl 59 saw the unceremonious dismantling of the Kansas City Chiefs by the Philadelphia Eagles. A blowout victory, 40-22 on Sunday. There's a lot of questions now that Kansas City has to answer. You got some tough choices on your roster with all the free agents that are coming up. And all eyes were on Travis Kelce after what was a lackluster performance by his standards and his metrics, not just throughout the course of the season, but in the Super Bowl, where Philly did a great job of taking him away, but his impact just wasn't felt as we've seen time and time again. And look, that guy was still wildly productive when it was winning time for Kansas City. But he is aging. He's a guy that at a tight end position, he's not a blocker by nature, but he'll mix it up a little bit. He's a receiving tight end.
Sure.
When is enough going to be enough? And when does Travis Kelce retire? He went on the New Heights podcast with his brother Jason, and he addressed the future of what happens as he acknowledged the fact that he has felt a drop off. And then what happens next?
As you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man. Those are all extremely hard things to, it's just a tough reality. And, yeah. You know, I think, I'm going to take some time to figure it out. And, I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that, it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it, and I'm fully here for them. And I think I can play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
Boy, that kind of sounds like a guy who's leaning towards retirement, not playing another year.
Well, not just that. The idea of how he played. not just in the Super Bowl, but this season. Remember, the talk all season long was they're saving him, they're preserving him, that he's going to be ready to go come playoffs. And it was the least impactful run he's had in his career as far as being that guy. I mean, he's getting long in the teeth. It's happening, and I think there's a realization of that he can't have the impact that he used to have. He's 35. I mean, that's old.
Yeah. I mean, he did go for 117 yards in the divisional round, though. I mean, it's not like he was irrelevant.
No, you're right. He did have that. But this season in general, he did not.
No, he didn't. And I think that everybody said, all right, playoff time, this is where he's going to be impactful. And we talked about, you know, leading up to the AFC Championship game, where Buffalo is going to have success was, all right, your nickel is going to have to be locked up and he's going to have to take a lot of the responsibility of Travis Kelce, and they eliminated him. And I think what Philly did, which was something that very few teams can do, is when you rush four and drop seven, guess what you can take care of? You can take care of number 87 because you have seven guys back in coverage to take care of four receivers most of the time, because the back wasn't even able to release out into pass routes either, because you needed him in protection so you could have six to block four, which they did ineffectively over the course of the game. So, you know, it was one part, Travis Kelce is getting old, and you're dead on right about that. But it also is the fact that the last two games that they saw, they did everything they could to eliminate number 87. Mm-hmm. And so he still has that gravity. I mean, we see the highlights in the low lights, if you will, of Travis Kelce's Super Bowl. There were two guys around him all the time.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, see, he's giving up on this route. It's like, well, he's just not running into a space where other guys are going to be because he's got two guys around him. He's not going to go and get somebody else into trouble because he's trying to clear out and lose one of two defenders. No, throttle down, let two guys guard you and somebody else. It's their responsibility to get open.
Problem was,
nobody was getting open. Well, they were, well, but it was too late.
And that's,
yeah.
I think the fine line there is that, and it's not wholly on him. That's not what I'm saying. But last year before, even in those double cover situations, when they were looking to take him away, he found ways to beat it, to make himself available, to make the plays. And he's getting to an age now where that, it just doesn't happen. I mean, how many guys have, beyond this age, really been productive? Gates? Gonzalez? Is that the list? How old was Olsen when he hung it up?
I don't... well, Greg Olsen, I think right now, is only like 39. He might be 40-ish.
But look, tight end's like one of the positions...
he's 39 right now.
Okay, so even he wasn't that old when he hung it up. So, like, I'm just trying to think of tight ends of in recent memory who
he played until he was 35.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, this is kind of it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he knows that he's at the end of it. I think the fascinating part is, all right, when is it going to be? Gronk was only 32 when he hung it up.
Yeah, he also had all of the injuries.
Dude. He's got one more year left on his deal, though, and that's, you know, $20 million. You don't need the $20 million.
Nobody ever needs it, but when it's there in front of you.
He'll be 36 years old, $20 million, and this is where we were talking about this with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The next evolution of what your dynasty looks like, it's going to look different, and there's going to be years where you have these guys like a Travis Kelce who are aging out, and they're, by name, they are impactful. By where they are at that point in their career, they're not. And they're going to take up a bigger number of your salary cap. And this is where the Patriots were always considered cold-blooded, right? They would trade guys out with the, you know, 2 years to go, signaling, all right, we know that he's going to be a guy who's going to stick around. We're going to sell while the stock is still high, and we're going to get something in return to try and turn it over and develop it. If you look at where the Chiefs are with their cap, $66 million to Patrick Mahomes next year.
Mm-hmm.
27 to Juwan Taylor, who is 28-year-old right tackle. 33-year-old left guard Joe Tooney $27 million. Travis Kelce, a 36-year-old tight end, $20 million. You got some money in some older guys at their position. And this is going to be the fascinating part, is where do those guys make their decisions on whether they come back or not, and how do you fill that void? Because Noah Gray, he had a few games where he was electric.
Yeah.
He's not Travis Kelce in his prime. And that is where you go, are you going to do it by having a bunch of guys replace the production? And they could, right?
Sure.
You could, whether it's Rashee Rice when he comes back, along with DeAndre Hopkins if he comes back. Xavier Worthy popped at the end of the year, and he's a rookie, and he's going to be pretty cheap. Like, they have a bunch of guys on some pretty sweet deals for them, but that's going to be the evolution, is Mahomes is going to have to go with, it's going to be by committee. It's not going to be, where's Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
Where's Tyreek Hill? Those are my two woogies that I'm going to lock on to.
You know, that's that evolution stuff. You know, it's every part of this, and the choices you have to make, and this is what makes the NFL the NFL, is that those choices impact you in the immediacy and in the long term as far as operating under that salary cap. That's what keeps the churn of the NFL so viable.
So they have... They have 22 guys, only 22 guys under contract for next year. Okay.
Is that 53?
No. No. But they only have $15 million in salary cap space. Uh-huh. And like, it's a little bit different because it's 48 players with cap holds that could be free agents. But if you retain those guys and you bring them back, they only have $15 million to spend. 22 are truly under contract for next
guaranteed
year.
Money.
Holy smokes.
A lot of work.
They've got, Brent Veach, he's got his work cut out for him. You're always going to be in it as long as you have Patrick Mahomes.
I would say the glass half full part of that is you only have 22 people under contract, so you can remake your team.
Yeah. And it's easier said than done, because guys want to get paid, they want to get their money, but there's going to be guys who are willing to play for cheaper to go with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Not just that, I guarantee you, regardless of quarterback situation, you would rather be a GM of the Chiefs right now, even with no quarterback, than you would of the Saints, just because of the money issues alone.
Yeah.
Just because the Saints have nothing they can do. The next 2 years is about paying the piper. The Chiefs have not gotten that point yet.
I have a question that popped up because did you hear Dak Prescott's comments yesterday?
About being a title contender?
And saying they're not that far off. And if you go back, like, since Jalen Hurts has been the starter, I think they have like a 500 record against the Eagles. And that was his point. He's like, we played them tough. Like, we could be there too. First, no. We talk about the two least attractive jobs in this hiring cycle. New Orleans and Dallas. Would you rather have no quarterback at all, or a quarterback who you know is not elite and you're stuck with him, like Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Which, like, Dak Prescott, you know he's not elite. Mm-hmm. He's good, and he's good enough.
But you're paying for him.
I
wouldn't want to go down that path.
And that's why it's like, it may almost be better if you are in New Orleans, where your cap situation is hell this year. And you're going to get some relief next year. You know you're not going to, because you don't have a quarterback, and you know you're not going to have a quarterback next year, but you know that there is a pathway.
Eventually, yes.
The pathway looks a hell of a lot longer in Dallas, where you have a bunch of money tied up into places that you're going, I don't know if you can get this done. But they have Michael Parsons. They have
Where the money's not tied up in. No.
And you're going, holy smokes, they have some dudes, but you know that you're never going to get over that hump.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Oh, man.
Not a fan.
That's brutal.
All right, coming up next for our worst day on the web. Look, snake oil's making its comeback. What about some tiger oil?
That's the thing?
No. We'll get to that more on the worst day on the web. But first, here's the big, or excuse me, not the big kahuna. It's Big Will Betts with a Sports Zone update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Look, the old Western days And any Western you've probably seen features somebody with a wagon selling all kinds of charms and potions that could fix all the ails and wants and needs.
Yeah, you're traveling salesman.
Yeah, you're traveling snake oil salesman.
That's right.
Well, it's
it
hasn't gone away because a zoo in China is currently under investigation and getting just absolutely hammered because, well, they were selling tiger urine.
Oh.
By the bottle. Well, right. A 250-gram bottle of liquid.
All right. Of tiger urine.
Yep.
Boy, that would be a bad job to be the person who has to collect that.
I mean.
Yeah. What's your job? You work at the zoo. That must be a fun job. What do you do? I work with the tigers. Oh, what do you do with the tigers?
I mean, does it have a litter box?
Collect their urine.
Like, do you got to go, get a dropper and, suck it up off the ground?
I don't know. I'm just assuming that maybe it's like a...
attaching something, hopefully?
Yeah, it's like a turkey baster. You just...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I have no idea how you do that.
Because, I mean, it's a big cat, probably drinks a lot of water, probably doesn't take, little kitty cat pees.
I'm assuming where this story is going, though, it may not even be tiger urine that they were actually selling.
Well, they were selling tiger urine because it was verified to be tiger urine, and they were pitching it as the zoo. Okay. The zoo recommended the fluid be mixed with white wine and applied to affected areas along with slices of slices of ginger. Do not slice up your gingers.
Wow.
Please don't slice this up.
It had a good therapeutic effect on ailments like arthritis, sprains, and muscle pains.
Yeah.
Rub cat pee in white wine.
And ginger.
And ginger.
Not gingers. Ginger on your ailments. I could see how this would be not well received by medical professionals. That's quite the move by the zoo.
Speaking to the Chinese media outlet, the zoo said the urine was collected directly from a basin the tigers urinated in, but not clarify if any disinfection procedures were followed.
Yeah, probably not. Well, didn't Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, he said he would collect urine from his teammates, he'd heat it up, and he'd put his ankle in it for 30 minutes. As his home remedy for ankle injuries. You don't remember this?
No.
I thought that was just athlete's foot.
No.
No, that's what you do for the jellyfish.
He said that it worked, and there's a reason why he's never been injured. Home remedies.
He's also the guy who said that he ate McDonald's, and that made him stronger because he was putting garbage in his body.
Well, yeah, all that processed food has got superpowers in it. Chad Johnson, is he the director of this zoo? Because maybe he's on the same line of thinking here. You didn't even need it to be tiger or the white wine or the ginger. Oh, hey, white wine, Amari Stoudemire. It was red wine. Didn't Amari Stoudemire take baths in red wine, saying that it helped his body with the antioxidants?
That's not as bad.
Well, no.
It's not as bad.
No. Red wine. Let me see this.
Not to play devil's advocate here.
Bathing in red wine with Amari Stoudemire back in 2015.
Was he doing Franzia?
ESPN, the magazine, said that he would take baths in red wine to help him relax and recover.
Is he getting heavy Bordeaux's?
Look, all I'm saying here is that this Chinese zoo, it may sound wild to all of us. Chad Johnson and Amari Stoudemire are probably They're on to something.
It gets worse. There was another zoo that did this in Chongqing, where workers were blowing whistles and keeping water taps near tigers' cages dripping to ensure a steady supply of urine.
They would literally scare the pee out of them?
Mm-hmm. And make sure that the water was always running so they had a healthy water supply. A researcher at the Shanghai University of Traditional Chinese Medicine and Pharmacology said, so far as I know, no medical works have mentioned the medicinal value of tiger urine, and the health of the tigers might also be damaged by those freakish urine-collecting methods.
Oh, my goodness.
So it hasn't been proven that it doesn't help heal, though.
Sure.
Jeez.
Sure. Just as a point of clarification, the two stories I had going today were tiger pee.
So bad.
And the analysis, an actual study being done on Americans learning Canadian hockey English. or Canadian. Like the transitive property of like code switching, it happens in basketball. You have your Tyler Herro whites.
Oh yeah, where when an American starts talking hockey, they start going, "Oh, you got to cross the blue line, eh?"
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Will Betts does that when he starts talking Hawks.
Make sure you get that puck in the top shelf before you get your sellies on.
Yeah. So, okay.
You have some nice lettuce there, Cuddy.
Yeah, see?
That happens.
Oh yeah, it's full on Shorzy. But there's like an actual study being done on it by a linguist. I can't remember what university he's at. But they call it, they were studying hockey lingo specifically. Okay. And then they noticed that in their studies, all these Americans who had nothing to do with Canada, like hockey players that were raised in Texas.
Is it the accent or just the lingo itself?
The lingo leads itself to that.
Okay.
Like it's a gateway drug to full on, maple syrup.
Yeah. All right. What is this study going to do? There's a lot of studies that I just go, but why?
Yeah.
Do we need that?
Transitive property of language?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
But yeah, those are the two stories I had going today.
And I don't. Whether it's Chad Johnson or the Chinese zoo, people honestly think their pee is going to be what's going
to
heal them?
Hey, look, there's people out there that'll definitely sell it to you for less than that on Amazon or eBay.
Oh, boy. Maybe even more.
Mm. Helps with athletes.
How much
supposedly
were they charging for?
Basically $5. It's 50, 51.
Yeah.
$5?
No.
For 250...
Milliliters?
No, grams.
Grams.
Which is weird. I was like, it's not a... It's a liquid.
That weighing should that cost more.
You'd think it would.
Well, it's hard to get. Plus, I bet like, you the wine.
Well, I mean,
and the water supply.
And the ginger.
No. You have to provide your own white wine and ginger. They're just selling you the base ingredient and imploring you what to mix it with. But I wonder if there's like a sliding scale, like if it comes from like a zoo raised in cap or a tiger raised in captivity, their urine versus like a wild Siberian tiger's urine.
Organic tiger urine?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
free range tiger pee.
Oh, man. And they're not drinking it. They're rubbing it on their ailments. Even though there is a lot of liquids in here, it's being rubbed on the ailments.
Rubs the tiger pee on its skin or it gets the hose again?
I am happy to say I have never done this.
No.
I did get stung by, I stepped on a jellyfish when I was a kid.
Oh, you got peed on?
Yeah, I peed on my foot.
Oh, you did it yourself? That's good.
Yeah. But
that's different.
It didn't necessarily, it still hurt really bad.
You just didn't, you know what you do, you know what it was? You were too good of a teammate. You didn't have enough ammonia in your urine.
I guess so. Is that what it is supposed to be?
I think it's the ammonia in it that's supposed
I think it might be an old wives' tale. I thought I saw that it might not be real.
Didn't help.
I think friends might have lied to us.
Yeah. See, this is why.
Nope. Google says no, it's a myth.
Friends lied to us. Chandler.
I'm so glad that we all had to go through this together.
You recommend to rinse the area with hot salt water. Remove any visible tentacles and seek medical attention.
Nope. Didn't do any of those things.
It can actually aggravate the jellyfish stingers into releasing more venom.
Oh, perfect. Great. Yeah, that wasn't like a thing where it was like stuck in my leg area. Yeah. All right. Anyway. Doesn't work. Don't try it.
There you go.
Have that at home.
Terrible.
Take that home with you.
All right. Coming up next, Big Will Betts had it in his update there. We have the injury announcement on DeAndre Ayton and what that means for the Portland Trailblazers going forward. Danny and Dusty today in the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 the Fan.
Official news on Trailblazers big man DeAndre Ayton has officially come down from the Blazers following his MRI after leading the game Monday night against the Denver Nuggets with a left calf injury. It is, in fact, a left calf strain. He will be out at least 4 weeks, at which point he will be reevaluated. This is kind of what I was hinting at.
That's brutal.
Yesterday morning, the thought process was that it was probably – when you're 7 foot tall – and you have a non-contact injury that causes you to leave the floor like that.
It's a big calf, man.
It's a big calf. You had to be carried off the floor. And look, DA's a lot of things. He's a different dude. He's a little off kilter. He's not soft when it comes to injuries.
Yeah.
That's not something like mentally he can check in and out, but he plays through stuff. Like it's so this is not just some like thing, but it's if you're looking at 4 weeks, that puts you, you know, at basically that, March 14th.
That well, yeah. Well, I'm going to say because February only has 28 days, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to put that to the Monday, mm-hmm. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. That will put him out of 15 games, okay?
It's more than half the remainder of the season.
You put, 15 games, and that will put you at 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 left. So 13 games he will play in at the end.
That's if he comes back.
I think you may see the...
This may be the end of DeAndre Ayton this year.
It's progressing, but... We're going to give it a little bit more time and keep kicking that can down the road. Because if you also look at it, I mean, the Blazers will go in that stretch. If he does come back on, you know, March 17th at home, they play every other day until March 30th. or March 27th is their last game. They play every other day for 10 straight days. Mm-hmm. He's not going to play in all those games coming back from that, even if he does come back. So
I bet we've seen the last of him. I'd say he's done.
Yeah. We've seen the last of DeAndre Ayton. Yeah.
And this is the thing that I said that...
This year. Maybe ever.
The single move that the Trailblazers can make before the injury was to shut down DeAndre Ayton. It will have the single biggest impact on the team. Hands down.
Now, do you think that since this is an actual injury, does this depress maybe a value of DeAndre Ayton come the offseason trade market?
No. DA's been about as viably healthy as a 7-footer can be in the NBA.
Because the one thing that you can look at as well, for folks that don't know, DeAndre Ayton is entering the final year of his deal next year.
Yes.
But then you could say, well, it's $35 million, but $35 million of expiring money is attractive. DeAndre Ayton may be a in-season trade candidate more so than an off-season trade candidate, because of the fact that a prorated $35 million helps a team at the deadline far more than the full $35 million at the beginning of the year.
And as the Vancouver Ford text line points out, KD had a calf strain. How did that go? Yeah, they're not rushing him back. No one thought it was an Achilles injury when it first happened. I shouldn't say no one, because I saw a bunch of people like, oh my God, it's Achilles. No, where he reached, that's not Achilles. That's calf.
Ah. As Pio and Jordan points out on the Vancouver Ford text line, maybe they should get some Tiger Pee.
There you go. Might help.
Maybe. Plenty of good white wine here in the area to mix.
You're not wrong.
You know?
That's actually, I wonder if they've considered that, mixing that Willamette Valley white wine.
People are wondering.
You know?
People are wondering.
Those are the things that matter. This is going.
Somebody just got into their car and is like, what?
Yeah, mixing pee with your wine. There's some wine stop somewhere like, wait, why?
Just rewind on the Odyssey app and you'll get it.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure you listen for at least an hour.
Yeah, and you can enter to go to Vegas.
See, look at that.
Bingo.
There you go, boss. We'll give you two in one day.
Synergy.
This is the single biggest thing they can do as far as impacting the game night in, night out.
Yeah.
So.
What if we come to find out that it's like, hey, he could have played, but this was the path. And DeAndre Ayton's like, wait, he gets his press release and his email. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I'm healthy. I'm good.
South team stank. That's how they do it.
But look, if it was, if you want to tighten your tinfoil, if this was him faking it.
Bravo.
Academy Award goes to DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good play.
I mean, just really simulated everything that's necessary to emulate a calf strain.
Dang right, brother.
All right, coming up next, we're going to pivot to the NFL. Even though the season is over, it's NFL draft season. The Underwear Olympics are only 2 weeks away. Let's take a look at our first initial divings of this year's draft class. Danny and Dusty, today the Fan.